You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple app or Google Play stores.
We're excited to welcome to the show the new editor-in-chief of the Weekly Standard, Steve Hayes. Steve, you're on the line.
Morning, guys.
Good morning. Congratulations on your new position at the Weekly Standard. It's exciting to see you kind of moving up the chain over there.
Yeah, thanks. I've obviously got very, very big shoes to fill, but I'm excited to give it a shot.
I've seen his feet. They're not that big.
Bill Kristol is going to be an editor at large, and you're going to be in charge of the Weekly Standard. And I think that we're all, based on your reporting in the past, excited to see the direction that you take the publication.
Yeah, congratulations.
So thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
Steve, you're a Wisconsin native, and Donald Trump was in Wisconsin last night on his thank you tour. And we're just going to play a little bit of sound of him defending Paul Ryan.
Speaker Paul Ryan, I've really come to I've come to appreciate him. Honestly, he's like a fine wine.
He's like a fine wine.
From a guy who doesn't drink, by the way.
Right.
Yeah, in a state known for its beer.
Right. Oh, there you go. Although wine does go with cheese, which is also
good
Wisconsin's
point. That's
known
a good
for.
Point. Very good point. Yeah, look, I thought it was, you know, obviously Trump had some excited folks at that rally in West Allis, Wisconsin, which is just outside of Milwaukee. Sort of an interesting moment in summing up 2016 in the political environment that we're living in when Trump mentions Kanye and gets massive applause from this Republican rally in Wisconsin and mentions Paul Ryan and gets sort of a smattering of boos. A new political environment we're living in.
Yeah, it's been interesting to watch some of the most of Trump's most ardent supporters continue to go after Paul Ryan when Donald Trump, I feel like, has made an effort since Election Day to try and move forward even with people who had been critical of him with the new majority that they have to actually try and get something done.
Yeah, and look, I think that speaks well of Donald Trump. He's made some moves that have me concerned. He's said some things that have me uneasy. But I think one of the best things that we've seen from Donald Trump in the weeks that it's been since the election is that he has reached out to some of his critics. He's invited some of them to serve. You think about somebody like Rick Perry, who was formally tapped today to be the Energy Secretary, and others. It does seem like Trump wants to get the best people, or at least the people he thinks would best serve the country, and that's to his credit.
Well, he also seems to be sending a message that he wants to shake things up. I mean, Rick Perry, as the Secretary of Energy, it made sure you think, well, he's from Texas. He understands the oil industry. Obviously, you can't be governor of Texas and not be familiar with the oil industry. But he is a man who has also said that he would like to see the energy department dismantled. Ryan Zink is a man who's been chosen to head up Interior. We're going to talk about this in a few moments. But this is a guy who has been sort of, you know, not what you would call friendly. The green people would not say that he is friendly to the environment. I don't know whether that's true or not, but it's sending a message that things are not going to be in these agencies the way they have always been.
Well, he's not friendly to the environment in the way that they want him to be.
Yeah, exactly.
But of course, you have an election to determine these things. I mean, this is one of the things that it happens every time Republicans are elected and people express shock, horror, and dismay that Republicans are going to go in and lead agencies where they haven't agreed with the bureaucratic drift of the agency. Well, no kidding. You know, I mean, part of the case that was made during the election by Donald Trump and certainly Republicans down ballot was that places like the EPA that had been empowered and invigorated under Barack Obama would have their power diminished under a new administration. That's what they campaigned on. They announced that they were going to do this. They're doing it, and yet you still have these howls of horror from liberals in Washington. It just doesn't make much sense. They don't seem to understand how elections work.
Do you think that Rex Tillerson, the man that Trump has chosen to lead his secretary as Secretary of State, can that come that nomination get through the Senate confirmation process? Because you only need 51 votes, but you have 52 votes in the Senate right now, and three Republicans are voicing some concern.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot will actually matter. A lot will depend on what happens during the confirmation process. You know, to me, there are very legitimate questions to be asked about his resume and about, in particular, his relationship with Vladimir Putin and Russia more broadly. He's worked in Russia for a long time. His proponents, his advocates, say that that's an advantage, that he understands Putin, that he understands the Russian political system, and he understands the incentives and disincentives within that system, and that would make him better equipped to try to you know, not only make deals with Russia, but understand what Putin is up to. On the other hand, you know, this is somebody who was awarded the Order of Friendship by Vladimir Putin in 2013, who was advocating for the lifting of sanctions on Russia even after the invasion of the Crimean Peninsula, which should cause people pause, particularly Republicans who have, I think, been accurately warning about the threat from Russia, from Vladimir Putin and his expansionist views for several years now. It's sort of ironic to me that some of the very same Republicans who have been warning about Putin mm-hmm. and his eagerness to reconstitute the old Soviet order are suddenly making arguments to suggest that he can be our buddy.
Right.
Strikes me as a bit hypocritical and a bit naive. And, of course, the flip side is true, too. Democrats who mocked Mitt Romney for saying that Russia was our greatest geopolitical foe are suddenly so concerned about Russia and Vladimir Putin, and concerned that Democrats haven't shown on Russia or the old Soviet Union for literally decades.
Right. Steve, do you think that Trump's appointment of Tillerson feeds into this argument and concern from many people during the primary and the general election that Trump has a blind spot when it comes to Vladimir Putin? And it is true that he's never said a negative thing about him, despite, you know, his undemocratic behavior, despite his aggression towards countries like Ukraine. Does this only fuel that fire, regardless of the fact that Tillerson was able to make some pretty good deals for this American company?
Yes, it does, and it ought to. I mean, you know, I think back, I was having a conversation with a Republican strategist yesterday, and we were talking about that moment on Morning Joe. I don't know if you remember it, where Joe Scarborough asked Trump several questions about Putin, and Trump continued to defend Putin, and Joe said, well, gosh, you know, this is a guy who imprisons journalists and kills his political enemies. And Trump said, yeah, well, we do that here in the United States, too. I mean, very flippant, defended him three or four times before finally giving in and saying, yeah, okay, he might be a little problematic.
Yeah.
You know, Trump was on virtually every side of every issue over the course of this long campaign, except Russia and except Putin. It was one area where Trump really never wavered in his views, and I do think it raises those questions.
Yeah.
It should make people nervous. You have somebody like Reince Priebus, former chairman of the RNC, now an incoming White House chief of staff, who was on the Sunday shows this weekend making arguments that sounded a lot like the arguments Barack Obama was making about Iran before he came to office. Now, I think Priebus is a smart guy, but I don't believe that he thinks engagement with our enemies is always a good thing,
right?
And that's sort of the case he was making.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to watch Rex Tillerson's confirmation hearing in front of the Senate. It might be a more difficult one than the rest of the appointments. Steve Hayes, editor-in-chief of the Weekly Standard, thank you so much for coming on the
show.
Congratulations
again, Steve.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me. Anytime.
Have a good one.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.